You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome back to another Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily. Alexis is back. Okay.
Yep, baby.
He's back from an afternoon wedding.
This was a afternoon all the way into the night. At one point, the air conditioner breaks. Mm. So the suit getting dry cleaned right away.
Okay, so he's back. I know you, your ankle, you rolled your ankle or something doing the twist out in the...
Yeah. I was doing the Lindy Hop out there. Shouts to those grandparents who got married. No, the day after the wedding, I must have twisted it. Something must have happened. Mm. Your boy's in pain.
There we go. Pretty Alexis and having foot trouble or just a common occurrence. It's like,
I mean,
every summer.
You make it sound like I got bad feet. No, come on. I messed up my knee.
But it's always, you always, every summer you got a limp. I don't know what it is, bro.
You know what? It's really just a stunt. You know what I mean? I'm like, there goes Alexis walking with a limp again.
Yeah,
bro.
Why you got a fur coat on all of a sudden?
Damn. Why is he backhanding the air?
just to warn everybody, okay?
You know, smacking his heat away.
Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero's with, one and a half ankles right now, bro.
We out here, again, every single day for the Women's World Cup. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, the podcast. Let your friends know. It's been a while so far, and we've been getting crazy result after crazy result in this Women's World Cup. So we're going to break all of that down. I want to let people, I just want to send a thank you. We Megan Reyes did the show yesterday, and the Filipino community, I did not know the Filipino community was going to come out and show the amount of love that they did. They were fans of the show. Some people were not fans of the show. You know what it is?
What a shock. Some people just don't get humor, you know? It's not their thing.
Not into it, but it's all good. But shout out to Megan Reyes. If you haven't checked that interview out, that's yesterday's episode. Please go check that out. It was a really fun and thoughtful interview about the Filipino national team. We'll talk about them as well, because obviously their third match in the World Cup did not go anywhere similarly to the first two. So a lot to discuss, but let's start with the most recent results. We'll go over the matches over this weekend, but you see Alexis and me wearing Colombia national team kits.
We didn't plan this at all.
No, not at all. This is simply just serendipitous. This is just to celebrate La Cafeteras, because Colombia pulled off. I mean, we were already kind of surprised in their first match, but now in this game against Germany, this is wild. And look, we were giving our predictions for who would come out of these group stages and who will win the group and blah blah blah. We did not show Colombia a lot of love, just because we're just every time they're in this tournament, it's really never like not super super impressive. They they're excited to be there. They show a lot of pride, but when it comes to playing, especially against these European nations who tend to just be like these tall Viking women, you know what I mean? Let's just keep it a buck. That's where Colombia and a lot of other countries have a lot of trouble. But Colombia, we saw it in the first game against against South Korea. They won that game, and then and I was like, "Yo, they are quite impressive. This is a pretty solid team." And then to see what they did against Germany,
which is, you know, look, South Korea's I think played well, but let's be honest, they're not at the same level as Germany. Germany's one of the names you've heard about of teams that could compete with the U.S. for this title. You know, there's people in our mentions saying like, "Yo, the U.S. is done. They're cooked. They won't beat the likes of, you know, Spain, England, Germany." Bruh, Germany can't even handle Colombia right now. Linda Caicedo is what, 18 years old?
Yeah.
19 years old? She is looking like quite possibly the best player in the world right now.
It's a so Caicedo is the winger for Colombia. If you haven't paid attention, or if you new to this, okay, we true to this, but because
because
when people talk about Caicedo, it ain't Moises, bro. It is Linda, okay,
bro. Moises, take a back seat. She plays for Real Madrid.
Yeah, well, she just joined. So she'll be in you know, there for the new season. But you watching these games, you see why they signed her. She's 18 years old. I mean, the German defenders in the goal that she scored, which is an absolute banger, probably already one of the better goals in the tournament. I would argue maybe the goal, Argentina's goal. In the draw against South Africa, I think that might be the top one right now. But
as far as like single effort
one,
goal,
1v1, the technical ability,
1v2,
absolutely, bro. But she, I love if you watch the goal. I love the when the second defender is coming towards her. She looks at the second defender because she knows that the first defender, she's like, you're too scared. You ain't biting. You're not gonna challenge this. Because you're too scared to look bad. And then she's like
watch what I'm gonna do to your friend, and then watch what I'm gonna do to you.
Okay, you got the best seat in the house to watch what I'm about to do to both of you. So she looks at the second defender. The second defender's coming in, and she's like, "All right, let me wait till she dives." And just perfectly moves the ball away from her, and then hits the ball in between the two of them, and then takes a snapshot so fast and hits it to the far post.
A curler,
beautiful.
Curls around any effort any goalkeeper could have made. This was absolutely incredible. Just a massive highlight, and to see videos of all these Colombian fans going absolutely crazy is a beautiful thing. This feels like the first Women's World Cup where like everyone is on board. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I mean,
like the misogyny is dialed down a lot more. They're like, "Oh, all right.
Yeah, maybe
we should chill a little bit." You know,
the patriarchy is like, you know, seething a little bit.
Suffering. Even they're watching. You know,
patriarchy's taking massive L's right now. Okay?
Yeah,
you love to see it.
They're just sitting there, like, you know, just trying to figure out how to keep control of the corporate world. And they're like, "Yo, should we pause, you know, running this world real quick to try to watch these games? Just don't tell anyone we're watching, bro."
Exactly. You know, it's great to see I think the impressive part usually is I'm always like, when I see, I mean, and in this game, there were so many Colombian fans, and then it's part of me is like, how many Colombians are making the commute? How many are traveling from Colombia, or maybe from the United States? How many Colombians just straight up live in Australia? Because, you know, Colombians are everywhere. Latinos are everywhere, bro.
Yeah. There's a Dominican barbershop in Moscow, bro. We are everywhere.
Okay. I always love that thing when you. My thing, whenever I travel anywhere, I'm like, "Yo, is there a Dominican barbershop?" And you know what? There always is, bro.
Always. They'll speak Spanish in a Dominican accent, and then when they switch to whatever country they're in, it's kind of brazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, "Oh, wow.
Damn, bro. Okay.
My guy's speaking Swahili, bro."
Damn, dude. My man is, you know, he's a tigre that also speaks Urdu, you know?
I know, right? You're like, yo, oh, you're digging again. And then he switched to like Flurnaven, Blurgen, Blurgen. And you're like, damn.
Okay, yeah. TikTok, look, this is why, TikTok can be very problematic and addictive. But one of my favorite things about it is like, I watch, once you like two or three Dominican videos or whatever, or any culture,
TikTok's like, all of them.
I got you, bro. Yeah. You're going to meet every Dominican, in the upper hemisphere, bro. And there's this lady from Dominican Republic that lives in I think she lives in Sweden or Norway, and she just talks about what it's like being a Dominican in these countries. And
this
it's
is
just
what I'm talking about. You know, she's blurging, blurging. What I was saying before.
You know, she's like, oh, you know what? Like, look, the food ain't the same. You're not going to find, many plátanos out here. But
right. The vibes are wild different.
But it's good. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's great. So anyway, shout out to Colombia. And then, a penalty late in the game, and even before the penalty, let's just talk about what this game looked like. Because I made the decision to watch the 3 a.m. matches, the match day, the third matches for Norway, Philippines, and Switzerland, New Zealand. Now and that was, I mean, it was a mistake. I mean, that's not.
I mean, I wanted Philippines got massacred. Sorry, to all the Filipinos watching now, part of the gang now. They got massacred, and then the other one's 0-0.
Yeah, and that was such a bummer because New Zealand, a victory would have had them moving forward. But the fact that I chose to watch those and sleep through Germany, Colombia, because I expected Germany to absolutely just wash Colombia, and I was happy. I was wrong about it, but so I watched the game. Watched the game back. I was like, I actually want to watch this game. So I'm on literally like maybe 2.5 hours of sleep, but I watched this game back. And the impressive thing, look, in the first half there were no goals, but the impressive thing here was that Germany didn't dominate at all. Like they didn't necessarily dominate a ton of possession. They definitely, what was it? I mean, I guess that 68% possession overall, 14 shots, but to Colombia's 9. So it's not a complete sort of domination. Like Colombia had to defend, but they gave Germany so many problems. Like they and I think the main thing here, and we saw it in the first game against South Korea, but there was a real just grasp of the game, a real control, a poise from the Colombian players. The technical ability from the Colombian players is like we have not seen this, and it's almost to a degree we're not even seeing it from like. You think about the U.S., some of the patterns and chemistry of just like in tight spaces, the Colombian players can solve problems and get out of trouble, as opposed to sort of the U.S., which is like they're just going to have possession. Teams are not going to press that hard against them. So they don't really have to figure out stuff. They have to figure out the final third, which is that's the bigger issue. But credit to Colombia, who obviously don't have the quality of a U.S. team or even a German team. But they were able to again figure out issues, like especially given that Germany the players are taller. So what did we see against Philippines? It was just Sweden did the same thing against Italy. It's like get it to the tall homies, and let's just get these three points.
And if it comes to corners, it's our time. You know what I mean? Dead ball's our time, baby.
Exactly. And that's and you can't fault that strategy because it works a lot of the time.
No, you got to use any advantage you have. And if you have a height advantage, go for it. If you have a strength advantage, go for it. If you have a possession or a skill-based advantage, go for it. But I think what you're saying is similar to what I've said in the past. It's like, all right, without Rose Lavelle, we don't really have – I mean, I could say like, yes, in the midfield, maybe Ashley Sanchez, but we don't really have someone who can – sort of play that, so that has the sauce to be able to play out of some of those tough positions. America tends to use its athleticism more than it uses raw skill. What you're seeing from Colombia is a team-based skill set. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You pass it to somebody, they're going to start connecting with some of the other players. they're going to find their, they're going to wiggle their way out of their, that trouble in that section. Yeah. And it's going to free everyone else up versus we have a system.
Right. And I think the best part is that they defend as a team so well, like, especially on those set pieces. It's like whenever they find, like, sort of who the tallest player is, who the ball might be going to, and it's 3 5'5" defenders, yeah. on this woman that might be 5'9", 5'10", and they double or triple team players to make it really difficult to get a there's no free headers. That's essentially right. That's, I think that's clearly the strategy, and you saw the Colombian coach like getting crazy hype after every like big moment and big goal. But then Colombia wins the game in the 97th minute. It was from a corner, which is Vanegas, Manuela Vanegas, who gets the fullback, who gets the header, which is just also Germany losing the game on a set piece.
On a set piece header from that far.
From practically
outside the box almost. I mean, yeah,
it was like from a little bit close to the penalty spot maybe, but
yeah,
still,
you're like, what the hell?
And it wasn't like a snap header that went right in really fast. It was like it kind of bounced in a little trickle, but yeah, for her to get to that ball, a huge way to win, but just such a tremendous victory from Colombia. Like, this is just, look, the men didn't even qualify for the 2022 World Cup, and then to have this from the women, it's just huge. I mean, interestingly enough, it doesn't, this group is not a lock yet, but Colombia is in first place with did Colombia already qualify? No, not technically. The goal differential would have to be insane. But their next game is against Morocco, who you would imagine they should be able to beat, or at least even draw.
They should be.
But a draw gets them, and they're top of the group. It's crazy. A draw to be a finish top of the group. So this is
Group H we're talking about. So if you don't know, Colombia is at the top of the group. Germany is in second place, especially after that massive victory by Colombia. Morocco in third with 3 points, South Korea with 0 points so far. So 6 points, top of the group, goal differential of 3. Germany could still hop over them, but it looks like unless Morocco has to win by a significant amount against Colombia in order to hop over them, it looks like Colombia will qualify out of this group. It's huge. This is massive. This is massive for Latin America. This is massive for Colombia. This is massive for the women's game in South America.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's something to get, I think, really, really kind of excited about. More than anything, it's just, I think this victory, that as soon as the whistle blew, I'm just like, man, the South American countries, again, always have, in Women's World Cup, tend to have a really, really tough time in World Cups against European nations. And I guess the gap is closing. I think it's the skill level has definitely improved. The coaching has improved, because it was like you said, it just used to be the bigger, stronger women would just dominate against the smaller ones, and now we're kind of getting to a place where, all right, if your strengths are in, great team play, great chemistry, great technical ability, you can keep up with some of the teams that might be physically stronger or faster than you. You know what I mean? Like, it's a remarkable, remarkable win. So shout to Colombia y la cafetera. And also, as always, we got to remind you, you got to chill from time to time, okay? Because
God, so important.
These games get a little intense, and we're seeing it also in League's Cup. These games are getting
League's Cup
pretty crazy. We're on to the
crazy
round of 32. NYCFC qualified after destroying Toronto FC. And now we also saw the priority of home field advantage. NYCFC is in third. So there could be some scenario, NYCFC plays well, we might be seeing Lionel Messi play a game at Yankee Stadium in just a couple weeks.
Or City Field, which would be dope as well, yeah.
Okay.
Anything can happen, bro. And I'm for it. In fact, if that happens, I'm going to need to chill. And the way I'm going to chill is by picking up a nice, cold, crisp Coors Light. You feel me?
That's the move, okay? Some peanuts and Cracker Jacks at the baseball game. Yeah. And
in a stretch, grab a Coors Light.
Grab a Coors Light. And, yeah, okay, Messi, go, you know, out at first. All right?
Yeah. Yeah. What a home run from Lionel Messi.
So it'll be dope. So a nice cold Coors Light is the move every single time. Okay. This summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with a nice cold Coors Light, official beer of Leagues Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and don't forget, celebrate responsibly.
That's the move. All right, let's go. Let's work backwards. We mentioned the Philippines. Yes, they did lose to Norway 6-0. And this is, we're not going to spend too much time on this. I just feel so bad that this was the way the Philippines gets knocked out of the World Cup. But look, a lot to be proud of. But this game more than ever felt like a. The Norway was, even though Norway has had a horrible time in
they've had a rough up, one.
They
lost the first match, drew the next, obviously made up for it with this one.
Yeah, but more than anything, it was every single player on Norway seemed physically stronger. I mean, this felt like, just women amongst girls or whatever. Like the Philippines seemed completely like just slow. They couldn't keep up. They couldn't stop anybody. They could. I don't know if they were tired or they. It was just like the Norwegian players were just physically just so much more dominating. But there was just not even. There was no opportunity for Philippines. It was just a bummer, especially after the game against New Zealand. You would think it would be a little bit more competitive, but. Not at all. Just such a disappointing way to end their tournament.
Even the 2-0 loss against Switzerland, you were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They didn't get bodied, you know? Like, look at them. And then they win. So you're like, oh, this stock is going up for the Philippine national team. And unfortunately, you know, they suffered this massive loss against Norway. But Norway needed that. And if we're going to talk about the game at all, it's obviously going to be Norway needing to step up, score a lot of goals, kind of put themselves back in position. They now bump out New Zealand. So,
yeah,
you know, you needed Philippines to get a result there if you're New Zealand. And it felt like you possibly could have, you know, but no, unfortunately, New Zealand is now bumped out. Co-host of the tournament, not getting through. But Switzerland, Norway, New Zealand, Philippines is probably how we would have had it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. I kind of gave New Zealand a little bit more hope.
That was the prediction I think most people made. We definitely did. But New Zealand, I loved them. Ali Riley did a interview. Maybe I could try to find it. But she did an interview, her post-game interview. And it was very inspirational. Kind of gave me the Marta 2019 vibes. Like just really talking about how, how... The point was kind of to inspire the girls in New Zealand to play the game, keep growing the program, so it didn't feel like heartbreak per se, but I think for me the disappointment is just like New Zealand couldn't score more goals. I mean, how many they got one goal the entire tournament.
Yeah,
just
look, you know, as difficult as that is, it's clearly not a top tier squad. You know, they're clearly developing the sport still, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think at the end of the day, I think what Ali Riley said is probably the best case scenario, which is, you know, you win the first match, that moment must have inspired a nation. You know, there must have been more than, you know, a handful of young girls watching that game going, I want to do that, you know? And that's what it takes. You know, the 99 champion, the 99 World Cup win, in the U.S. is talked about a lot, same way as, you know, the Landon Donovan goal against Algeria is talked about a lot as being an inspirational moment for a lot of players that are now playing professionally when they were young. So hopefully this is that moment and we see the fruits of this labor in the next 10 years. We see New Zealand be much more of a powerhouse. And it's because of this and it's because of those moments.
Correct. And then We have to discuss real quick South Korea, Morocco.
Yes. Just,
obviously, it was a 1-0 win for Morocco. First goal, first win in World Cup history. But the news that's making kind of a lot of headlines was their player, their center back.
The defender, Nuhayla Benzina,
who becomes the first player to wear a hijab during a FIFA Women's World Cup match. And yeah, the other thing, a lot of people are celebrating it because obviously it's a barrier broken, or really just, again, people kind of seeing this on the world stage. So you obviously know millions and millions and millions of people are getting to see it. But there was a tweet here that we have on screen from at Unusual Efforts mentioning, it says, quote, as a reminder, this would not have been possible in France, as the country's highest court ruled in favor of banning hijabs in women's football earlier this year. And this has been a controversial issue in France in general with hijabs, where I think they don't want full cover, like burqa type things, like they don't want women wearing them, or, and they feel that it's a I guess it's like a negative thing, or it's
looked down upon.
The
government, treats it as if it's sort of a, I don't want to use the word crime, whatever. It's not allowed in like ID photos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that, which stops a lot of Arabic women from being able to, or women who, wear hijabs to get licenses for driving I think even their train IDs, you have to take to get a subway pass, like a Metro card in Paris, you have to take a photo in a photo booth and they laminate it to your pass. So if you don't take that photo, you don't have a Metro card, which is ridiculous when you think about it. But then obviously there's probably some slightly hateful reason for it.
So it's an interesting subject in general, because I've seen, there are people that speak, people shouldn't wear them, and then people are saying that they should. But it's like, obviously it's a religious religious expression, and I think most reasonable people are like, let people do what they want. It's not hurting anybody. Yeah. But whatever. So it's just something that probably should be mentioned as well, because it isn't just like oh cool, she just wore it and no big deal. It's just like she can't
why,
wear
why
it.
Why make a big deal out about?
She can't wear it.
A fabric.
But it was dope to see. So hopefully it's something that leads to less challenges when it comes to the women who do want to wear it. But a huge victory for Morocco. Obviously, I think they are. I don't think there's any real chance that they're going to move on, right? They play against Colombia. It'll be very, very challenging, but a draw for Colombia probably gets them through. And I think if they lose, if Germany loses.
If Germany loses.
And Morocco.
Then Morocco wins, they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but if Germany draws or wins, Morocco will have to beat their goal differential, and as of right now, with a win, because they're both on 3 points. Right now, Germany's goal differential is +5. Morocco's is -5. So you're looking at Morocco needing to score right now 10 goals, just to break even.
Quite a few. So
against a Colombia that just beat Germany.
But who knows what Germany's going to look
happen,
like?
Bro. But that's probably not going to happen.
Okay, so.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
So let's go backwards. The other three matches were Sweden, Italy. Another just absolute rout. Sweden just completely. It was. They're not even worth talking about too much. Just completely dominated.
5-0.
But Jamaica, Panama. This was a good game, an interesting game, a big win. Jamaica now they're not first in the group, but they are second. They're tied with France.
That's huge.
So with four points.
And below them is Brazil.
Yeah, so. We did not expect this. At all. Brazil had a draw, I mean, in hand, and then they gave up a late goal. Wendy Renard scored for France. But the result against Jamaica, it's not necessarily a shock that they won. But again, usually, especially Jamaica being the CONCACAF nations, you know, the gap between the CONCACAF nations that are not the United States is pretty tremendous. So
it's pretty big.
Most of the time, you don't really see too many great kind of performances from them. You know, like Costa Rica is having a tough time, and Jamaica usually has a tough time at the World Cup. But this was their first win in Women's World Cup history. So that was just awesome to see. And this was with no Bunny Shaw. But they held their own.
They did.
Panama, obviously they have a lot to figure out still. But Jamaica looked pretty sharp.
Jamaica-Brazil now becomes the game to watch.
Yeah, this is going to be huge, right? Because Brazil
is crazy.
Brazil are they look good. I mean, that's kind of right. Carolyn, who plays for the North Carolina Courage. She's been awesome. And
she's been on fire.
Yeah, but you were seeing, you know, this happens with the Brazilian men's national team all the time, where it's like the talent is there. Every individual player, you know, could bring it, can give you some highlights. But then when it comes to just like getting it done as a team, they just always like kind of fall short. And I don't necessarily expect that from Brazil. You would have to favor them in the game against Jamaica. But
no, you got, come on, they got Ari Borges, who's, you know, had a hat trick. You got Debinha. I mean, these are some stack players, but Bunny Shaw coming back to a Jamaica team that just won. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, this is going to be an interesting game. Look, Brazil has the better players, without a doubt. But I wonder, I wonder if they can, it'll be a tremendous upset if Jamaica. I mean, all they need is a draw. They don't need to win.
That's right. They have 4 points. Brazil has 3. Yeah. Brazil has to win. There's no way out.
So you know they're going to defend. And you know if Jamaica scores first, Brazil's going to be in trouble, bro. So it's going to be exciting. The France-Brazil game was, I thought, also very good. I thought this was probably, I think I was saying that this was the best game of the World Cup so far. This was and it's like a lot of times, like the first goal, Eugenie Le Sommet, she scored from a header, just like bouncing around in the box, and she got on the end of it, and then Wendy Renard got a header. So it's just like, again, one of those like it wasn't not necessarily set pieces, but you know, when you got the big dogs up front, and it was like, yo, you know what you got to do. So yeah, it is what it is. So it almost a little disappointing from France. I thought they didn't look too sharp, and then the goal from Debinha was great.
Such a good goal,
very composed goal. The ball.
I will say, this is shockingly, it's the managers of these teams that you forgot about. Pia Sundhage, used to be the U.S. Women's National Team coach. She's obviously in charge of Brazil now. And then you got Herve Renard, who everyone remembers from the Saudi Arabia game beating Argentina. You know, the incredible halftime speech. You expected both of these teams, especially France, with, I know they've had some trouble with the Federation and some of the players not wanting to represent France because of what's been going on. But you assume, because of the level of skill they have, because of how good of a team they've been, they've gotten a better manager now, or at least you would expect they've gotten a better manager. They were the team that I think the U.S. feared the most in the last World Cup. And now coming in, they've kind of felt like yeah, we've got a bunch of good players, but we haven't put it together yet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I would argue a little bit, like, I think almost every team is kind of going through this where...
That's a good point.
It's just like the...
The U.S. isn't particular also.
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, the... I don't know. As far as, like, what teams, hit the ground running, like... You know, as soon as they in the first match, there aren't that many. You know, weirdly, it's like Colombia is like one of the ones that's just like, damn, y'all look actually pretty sharp.
Were y'all playing in a World Cup before this? Warming up,
you know? Were y'all? I don't know what the closed door friendly with Ireland did for them. We were talking about this before, but it's
damn,
just
bro. The U.S. needs to go fight Ireland, bro.
You need to get into a little scrap. You know what I mean? We haven't seen too many games where the teams are like pretty even, or even like heavy hitters facing each other, where they're, you know, the U.S., Netherlands, this France, Brazil is just like one of those where these could be finals without a doubt. So you just sort of expect a little more, or expect a little bit of more cohesion. But you know, sometimes I love I mean, France, Brazil was like chaos, bro. It was just absolute madness. It was great. Like, just a lot of crazy tackles, a lot of I don't know if it's more than usual, because, you know, usually the narrative is like, when we watch Women's World Cups, it's like, oh, you want to see soccer but without all the flopping, watch the Women's World Cup.
Watch Women's World Cup. Yeah, but they will keep playing bleeding out of their face.
This World Cup, for some reason, and I'm not going to say that there's flopping. There's been some, but there's just been like, there's nothing to flop about. Like, you are actually getting hit hard. You are in pain. Well,
they're like, we're not gonna make you flop, but we're gonna give you a reason to flop. You know what I mean? There's flop around in pain.
Some wild tackles. We've already seen some red cards. Some big challenges. Rolled ankles. And luckily the English player, I forgot her name, Walsh, I think was her mm-hmm. last name. I saw the report that she did not tear her ACL.
Incredible.
She hurt her knee and she's probably missing the rest of the tournament, but she did not tear her ACL, which is obviously really, really good news.
That's massive, especially because there have been so many ACL injuries.
Yeah. So
that's a big positive news for her.
Exactly. Okay, the matches for tomorrow will be, I'll pull these up right now, just so we can give any quick predictions. But
tomorrow it's Costa Rica versus Zambia, Japan versus Spain.
Yep.
Canada, Australia, and Ireland versus Nigeria.
Yes.
Ireland's out completely.
Uh-huh.
Australia needs a win, so that's going to be a big game versus Canada.
Yeah, this is we can look at the standings in the group real quick.
It's Nigeria in first place, Canada in second place, both with 4 points. Australia trailing behind 3 points, playing against Canada. So they can leapfrog Canada with a win. They can leapfrog both Canada and Nigeria with a win.
Yeah.
So all three of these teams, you know, Nigeria getting to play Ireland, who are out. Again, not going to be an easy game because it's still Ireland. Mm-hmm. But Nigeria getting to play Ireland because they've already been bumped out is probably a massive positive, versus Canada and Australia going to be fighting each other. Whoever wins probably goes up, probably goes through. So, or not probably, will go through. So this is going to be huge. Canada versus Australia is going to be a big, big game
as well.
That's
a big game. It's a 6 a.m. Eastern. Definitely.
Wake up a little early, you know?
I'll be probably feeding a baby at that time.
So. And I'll be in a pre-production meeting for the show. So I'll also be up. But this one's going to be a big one.
So that's definitely, I think for me, the one I'm very excited about, that Canada Australia game is feels like the match of the day. As far as in Group C, Japan, I mean, the Costa Rica and Zambia, I believe, are already out. No, I don't think there's any chance of them of qualifying.
No, they're out.
So this is a nice little friendly kind of. I guess they could fight for who wins the top of the group. So they obviously, there is something to play for, because you know, you may not want to face the United States or some of these other teams. But then,
For a lot of these groups, it's the third match, so this is the final match for most of them. I think only Group A is done.
Right. So it's gonna be interesting. I think this Group C result might also, obviously depending on where the U.S. finishes, you're like, who do you want to face, Spain or Japan? If you end up,
Japan. Yeah. Okay. Finish Japan.
I mean, Japan has 7 goals. Spain has 8.
I'm not saying it's easier. It's just, not Spain,
No, Spain seems a little bit more dangerous right now. So a bunch of huge matches to look forward to. Everybody, thanks so much, as always, for joining us every day. We're getting old fans, new fans hanging out with us. We appreciate it. As always, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also leave comments and reviews on episodes on Spotify. So if you're listening there as well, feel free to do that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Tell your friends. Tweet about it. I always love getting notifications when people are like, listening to Soccer Cooligans on Instagram and sharing the podcast on an Instagram story and stuff like that. So seriously, that stuff goes a really long way. And if you're already listening, Instagram is free. Twitter's free, or X is. Mm-hmm. X is free, okay? We got a nice giant sign on top of the San Francisco building, ruining everybody. Right? Everybody's
the neighbors love it. That's sarcasm.
That has to be illegal, right? There's no way that's legal. I have a giant bright light that shines into people's homes like that?
I think it is. I think it's legal.
I can't even comprehend how that could be legal.
Don't worry. If I know anything about San Francisco, is there will be a petition and then we'll get it gone.
Yeah.
San Francisco got a lot of Karens, so they ain't with that. They're like, we will talk to your manager's manager, bro.
Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. We'll be back tomorrow. Also, we'll be back in studio tomorrow. That'll be exciting. And producer Miguelito will be back. He was on vacation.
Back from his vacation.
Okay, he was out in Italy, I believe. It must have been tough watching that Sweden Italy game out there. It must have been really broken.
Just hearing all the marron every time a goal went in.
So we'll be back in studio tomorrow, and it'll be dope. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow. Peace.
Love you guys.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.